Beloved, the Father of Light is said to enlighten the eyes of our understanding using his servant, whom he has called to equip and build the saint. Now his excellency of speech will by power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit enjoy the Spirit.
Talking about faith, you know, it's talking of something that is much more higher. Sometimes there are natural, there are prophecies that are natural, they have purchased natural skin. And then they are fulfilled naturally, and then they think that all. But no, but that has not been the shadow. That the reality of it is more on the spiritual plane than what is being played out in the natural. Hallelujah. Amen. So let us be, so mention that I also want us to be that two sides that people have problems. So people believe that the scripture should be interpreted literally, don't be depending, interpretation that is not. You know, why do you believe that everything must be interpreted on a specific of, you know, ritual and ritual? Now, you can, to have strength, you must have balance. Amen. You must have balance. Like I said before, it's all a compendium of, it is a compendium of wisdom. Such that it doesn't give sight. You will just model up the road in and then confuse yourself and confuse you that it will be. That? Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So, we must not, we don't let more grow. I've seen interpretations of scriptures, people talking about something and then we want to show that it is literal, we don't have any other spiritual interpretation. That can't be correct. Hallelujah. Amen. Does anybody have any other question? From just concluded comment. Do we have any other question? Okay. Nobody. Alright. Hallelujah. Amen. So we thank God for those three, you know, what happened to you. Learning God for us today. For that one, we think every week we see that. So when we have convention, just for believe that happens to every God and God say, if we do not have anything. That's why we had that person last year, and many months after, we are still, you know, drinking from the fountain that God gives us to open. Amen. Alright, so let us continue from where we stop last week. I will do a brief revision, then have a few more things to it, and what we will do. We can make progress. Amen. We were talking about the kingdom, and I said I want to look at it from a very basic and simple point of view. From a very simple and basic point of view, if perhaps we may take a thought at all. I think whatever we do here that is the help our journey. The importance of all these things is to further our work to God. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't need to tell ourselves that it's not about the life that God gives to us. We should not be okay to just give that out. There's no point then to look out for something that God has not given. We only spoil whatever God is trying to do. So sometimes it's not okay to give it to someone that is very simple and basic. We don't have to teach that and allow God to just eat. It's not about what we want to do in the life of people. I'll be teaching myself to think that I have any capacity to change it to what we can from them. No, there's no man that has this capacity, no matter how eloquent or powerful the system we have. Hallelujah. He didn't say that. He said, we are sent from image to glory, from image to image, as by the Spirit. It's not as by the Peter. As by the Spirit of the Lord. So, what they need to do, what they're supposed to do, what is the communication of the Peter? Amen. So somebody can talk for 1 hour, and out of 1 hour, he has shown his breath for 50 minutes. And somebody can come and stand for those 50 minutes and, you know, his glory goes out to full force. And people are more blessed than that. Amen. Alright, so I said that I want to look at the kingdom from the perspective of the freedom that God has given to us. So we said that the kingdom comes to us. Free citizens. So if we say we are free citizens, then we must understand what is the subject of our freedom. What constitutes our freedom? What are we supposed to lay hold on? Because we know that the kingdom is not something that when you talk about the matter of freedom, you enter by breaking Luke chapter 15, verse 16, give us Luke chapter 15, verse 16. Luke chapter 15, verse 16. The law of the prophet of John, in that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presses to do. Hallelujah. So you see things like this used to describe people's interaction with the kingdom. So that means that there is a level of pressing that the kingdom demands, that the demand of pressing that the kingdom lays on people than the enemy. And that is why it is important for us, or for the need of the kingdom, to be still happy to us. What people say is no to know, they don't desire. And what they don't desire, they don't reach out for. Hello? If you are not aware of something, you cannot have a desire for it. And that is why desire also has something to do with knowledge. You have something to do with knowledge. It is knowledge that drives desire. Now, if you ask yourself, what are the things you desire? What do you want for yourself? One of the things you say you want for yourself are things you are either free with people or certain realities that are feeling some people's minds. And say, hey, for things I like this kind of life, I want to have it. So when you say that, from that time the kingdom of God is true, and every man's presence is free, what we are saying is that after weeks and months of talking about the kingdom, then we must become more alive. We must become more lively, and we must become more forceful when it comes to the matter that pertains to the kingdom of God. We are not hearing these people that we can associate them and call them as things we know and things we can teach anything we are going to want to see. But we are saying that they are supposed to hear something up within us. Our response to the things of the Spirit will change. If it does not, then it means that this thing has not come to us. Hallelujah. Amen. Sorry, I'm using a lot of energy to talk. So we talked about freedom from sin, and I said that. Now, Hebrews chapter 14, verse 17. Romans chapter 14, verse 17 uses three major things to describe, because the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Meaning that whatever expression we are going to give to the kingdom, it must be within the depth. You can't, there's nothing, you can't talk about the kingdom of God outside of these three parameters. It does not represent righteousness. It does not describe peace. And it does not describe joy. The whole affair is that it does not represent the kingdom. Hallelujah. If it is not within the scope of God's righteousness, if it does not pertain to peace, and it does not describe joy, it is not the kingdom. It is different from other things, but it is not God's kingdom. So we say that the full expression of God's kingdom is within righteousness, peace, and joy. So we say that if we are looking at the kingdom from the perspective of our freedom, one of the first things we must understand and we must know is that our freedom and our liberty comes from sin. Amen. And I think what Romans chapter 3, And, you know, I talked about that scripture that Romans 13, verse 14. Romans 14 shall not have dominion over you. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. And I try to give you the perspective of what this implies. Amen. And really, you must be careful of this thing. See, the New Testament is not story. We are talking about experience. When we are talking about New Testament, we are not talking about story. We are not just talking about things on the page of the book. We are talking about experience that we are supposed to have. Or experience that we are supposed to press into, we are supposed to desire to live on. And whenever I use a simple analogy, you know, when I was said to you, one of the things I have, I said now that I was talking about the issue of marriage. That under the Old Testament, Moses told and said, no, it was Jesus. Jesus was saying that. He said, you know, Moses gave you the right to be the king of divorce to a woman. That was, it was not like that in the original. That was what the original intention of God. That a woman to ask a man to be able to be the king of divorce. You know, he said, no, please, because of the happiness of your heart. Give you that instruction. That because of the condition you were in, that was why that instruction was given to you, and then we saw that even Jesus, even his disciples, they still responded the same way. When Jesus told them better, saying it like that, it's a matter of practice like that, I think it's better to stay away from marriage. And I said, well, and having of course, you know it's not, but it's a potential. Some of the that are married, I don't think that we're under any comment of, am I sure I can go? Am I sure I can, you know, for all life I can be bound to a woman? Or am I sure I can ready to be bound to a man for all my life? Why? Why is it different if you walk for grace? Now, under the Old Testament, that such a position was not available. Amen. But in the New Testament, what grace has done for us is that grace has satisfied our hearts so that those things that seem impossible to do, we can now find grace to do them. Amen. So that under the same law, under the same commandment, under the same principle, but they are feeding a different mind so that the impossibilities of the Old Testament are now possibilities in the New Testament. So that was basically making use of all that is saying that listen, under the law, one of the there are two things that you know Paul used to describe the law. Romans chapter 8, he talks about witness. He said that then people chapter 17, he talks about witness and unprofitability. Then he talks about witness and unprofitability of it, you know, God has to take it away and then to might something better. So all that is so in the dispensation of grace, we now have provision in God to satisfy the same requirement that they will not be the same requirement that they will not be seen, we now have provision. Now, all of this, we are not talking about it's not that when Jesus was mentioned, they asked him what the greatest commandment is. Therefore, the Lord was able. The same one is like, it's not your labor. Anything of something else. Because we know that the first four commandments have something to do with God. Then the remaining six have to do with social relationship. When that is not God, even when it's at the last one, you will keep the Sabbath day with God and all that. And then if you love your neighbor, you connect your neighbor's wife. You won't see. So then, to see the law of God, you are generally seeing
to God. Simple. The provision is an empowerment to obey God. So he said, come, you are no longer under that weak dispensation. You are under grace, which is a dispensation of strength. So right now, sin shall not have dominion over you. And I remember I told us that we must learn to take the word of, you know, what God says for what it says. That is the only way we can find the reality of those words in our lives. Hallelujah. Now, before I move to the next thing, let's go to John chapter 8. That was one of the scriptures. Sorry, I'm just trying to go over this thing because I know I rushed it a bit last week. So that we can have a clear understanding. I just want to have this one, then I'll move. John chapter 8, verse 13. Verse 30, John 8, 30, as he spoke these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou ye shall be made free? I don't know, what are these people thinking? He said they've never been in bondage to any man. As at the time they were talking, they were under bondage. Because it was Edom that was ruling them. Yes, now. They were not free. They were under Caesar. Caesar appointed their brother enemy to be their king. So, what? He said they were never in bondage to any man. Why? He said Abraham said, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou? Ye shall be made free. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth ever. If the son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be what? Free indeed. What is Jesus talking about here? He's talking about two things. He's talking about the Old Testament priesthood and he's talking about New Testament priesthood. He's not even talking... Now, he said, the servant... Okay, very, very, I tell you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abided not in the house forever, but the son abided ever. Amen. If the son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's take it from 18, then we'll read downward. Hebrews 7 from 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. I've said this earlier. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And in as much as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath, by him that feared unto him. The Lord sware, and would not repent, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests. Why? Because they were not suffered to continue by reason of what? Death. Don't forget, the servant abided not in the house forever. And they truly were many priests because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued ever, had an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Now, the priests under the law that were supposed to bring the people into perfection, that were supposed to free the people from sin,
were themselves subject to sin. Hello? Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5 from verse 1. Hebrews 5 from verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way? For that he himself also is compassed with what? And by reason thereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for what? For sins. Amen. So the high priest that is making reconciliation, the high priest that is supposed to walk on the people and deliver them from sin, is also compassed with what? With infirmity. So he's not just offering for the sins of the people, he also is offering for his own sins. So the priesthood under the Old Testament is limited by death because of sin. That's what he was saying. That the servant, that whosoever committed sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house ever, but the son. Why? Because the son has overcome death, because the son is free from sin. And so he has an eternal priesthood. He has an unchangeable priesthood. And because his priesthood is eternal, he's able to bring salvation to the uttermost. Now, why am I saying this? I'm now trying to show us what provisions that grace has procured. Why do we say that we are free from sin? Because apart from what Christ has done on the cross, he himself is a present, is a priest even to today, at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Not just that our sins might be forgiven, but that we might be made free entirely from sin. He is able to save them to the uttermost. He's able to save them to finish. The end of salvation is God. Amen. So if he's saying that he wants to save them to the uttermost, he's saying that he wants them to be as safe as God is safe. Hallelujah. No other being is a pattern of salvation for us. Amen. There is no human being, there is no angel, there is no spirit, there is nothing that is a pattern of salvation for us. Only Christ and the Father. Those are the pattern of salvation that we have. Amen. Of course, it wasn't a man that first sinned. It was not a man. It wasn't a man that first sinned. Before man came into the scene, Satan had fallen. He himself had become a servant of sin. He can't help himself. So sin is not just a man problem. But because sin has come into humanity, it's easy for God to now deal with sin and take it out forever. But what I'm saying in essence is that so Christ has an unchangeable priesthood. Why? Because he lives forever. But under the Old Testament, those priests died. So it's like, I think it was from Pastor Adeboye's testimony we had when he was not yet a believer, that was it that he went to do, maybe he wanted to go and do one security cam or something. And then the Baba told him to come back maybe after some time. And then is it Jared that it happened? And then he went back and he said the Baba has, maybe did he have an accident or something has happened to him or something. And then he was wondering that, is this the person I want to, the person that wants to do security for me? He himself will not secure himself. Hallelujah. And you say, in fact, I don't think it's worth it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because if he cannot save himself, you know, that was what they were taunting Jesus. Then you save people, save yourself. Kai, man, Jesus was his might. For him to have stayed on that tree is might. Amen. If I was the one, I would have said, Father, please, let me just display one thing. I'll come back. I'll just quickly show them. Hallelujah. But if he had done that, that thing has spoiled. He has to stay. Hallelujah. That's might. That's might. That's might. So, you know, those are all the things. You know, to be able to accommodate those insults and all of those things and, you know, with all the might and power and ability that it carries. You see, that's why they say, be meek shall inherit the earth. It's not Satan that owns this earth, though. Hallelujah. And that is why the true sons of God do not arise. The full potential of the earth cannot even be seen. Because the keys to treasures, Satan does not even have access to them. As I said, the meek shall inherit the earth. So only the meek can govern the earth. That's what he's saying. Only the meek can really govern the earth. Only the meek can really use the authority, you know, the full, he said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Hallelujah. So you can imagine the kind of, that's why it, why? Because to be a savior, we just talk about savior. To really be a savior, you have to be a child. You have to be meek. Otherwise, you destroy the people you are supposed to save. You would have killed all of them. Hallelujah. You would have killed all of them. Yes. How many people have we judged that this one can never be saved? Have you not? That we have, is this one? We do it all from time to time. We just look at something and say, this one is condemned to, condemned to it. There's nothing that can happen. And God is saying, this person, God is still believing. Hallelujah. So, amen. Let me go back to where I was. So let me end up with that. So we have seen that I thought I was going to, I really wanted to see if we could look at the weaknesses and the, you know, the profitability of the New Testament. What are those provisions? Because there are a number of things. It's not just the priesthood alone. Also the law. You know, Hebrews talks about it so well, comparing the, you know, that dispensation and the new, so that we can really see what we have. But I think I'm hanging in there with the issue of the priesthood. We have an unchanging priesthood. And because Christ has overcome sin and he has overcome death, he is able to save to the uttermost. Hallelujah. Alright, so we have been made free from sin, which is a figure of righteousness. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness. But righteousness. Hallelujah. But righteousness. And we must see. This thing must become our reality. This thing must become our reality. Now, I will, maybe when I get to some other point, I'm going to show us that as far as God is concerned, now that's why when people teach, what I'm teaching is almost like say new creation realities. Because really those things are the realities that God has battered us into, but which our experience have not come into alignment with. Amen. Alright, so peace. Now, what other freedom do we have? Let's look at Genesis. Genesis. Now, this one also have to do with sin. Now, we have not been made free from sin alone. Why? Because sin did not just end up with sin. Sin also came with some other things. Genesis chapter 3. I hope I'm not too I'm not boring. Amen. I don't have much strength to, that's why I'm just, like I said, I want to teach like as if we are doing home Bible cell. And Genesis chapter 3, verse 9. Okay, let's take it from verse 8. Genesis 3, 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Look at what he said. He said, and I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, one of the things that sin did, one of the consequences that sin brought to us, was that it brought fear that hangs on guilt. Amen. Is that, and I had that, but now these were a people that had seamless relationship with God. These were people that, you know, God delighted in coming to fellowship with them, and they delighted in coming to fellowship with God. I'm trying to imagine how Adam was before this time. I'm trying to imagine, you know, his disposition to his, you know, well, this, well, of course, this would have not been the first time they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. But at this instant, because something had happened, he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. Now, there are, you know, can you see the progression? They committed sin, guilt set in, fear came in, and then they began to withdraw. And now, it's the same thing still happens. Even now, we are children of God. But why is it that when we feel that when we have disobeyed God in one capacity or the other, there is a disconnect. And if you are not careful, it's because that you are withdrawing yourself. Why? Because something inside of you is not giving you liberty. Your liberty is hampered. But what I'm trying to show this evening is that one of the things that we have been made free from is this fear. Now, our entrance is to the kingdom. Now, because now we are talking about our relationship with God. We are talking about our relationship with our Father. Now, let's go to the New Testament so that I will use scriptures to explain what I'm teaching. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there are two things here. No, we're okay with verse 1. One is justification. The other is peace. Now, of course, justification there talks about righteousness. Hello? Is that being declared righteous by faith, or being made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our being justified relates more directly to God. The peace relates more to me. Let me come again. Now, the word being justified, you know, when you want to talk about righteousness, you can teach righteousness from In fact, Paul says, how did he put it in Romans chapter 1? From, yes, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. So that means that, you know, it's a journey. But at the, let's say at the first entry level, at the fundamental and at the first principle, when you say somebody is righteous, it simply means that not guilty. Hello? It means what? Not guilty. That's one of the basic meanings. When he says that we have been justified by faith, meaning that God has declared us not guilty. God is not hanging any iniquity on us. God is not imputing any sin on us. That's what it means. Now, that is more, of course, it affects me. But the implication of that thing deals more with God. Now, because why? God is now looking at me and he's saying, you are free from sin. You are no longer guilty. Now, the other side of it is that God has declared me not guilty. Now, I have peace with him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's not just about God declaring me not guilty. God can declare me not guilty and I am still under the burden of guilt. Amen. So God is saying, I'm not having any issue with you. You are free. You have been made free from sin. But it must not end yet. He said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Meaning that there has been reconciliation. The issue between us and God has been taken away. So I'm not under any fear again. Now I can freely come to God. Why? Because there is peace. Hello? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So it's not just, now our entrance into the kingdom is not just a celebration of righteousness. It's not just that God says, I am not guilty, but we are also saying that God has also given me peace. The divide between God and I has been settled. So my guilt has been taken away. My fear has been taken away. Now I have liberty to approach unto God. Romans chapter 8. Give us Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. Romans chapter 8 verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Now, let me not say there are two ways you can look at faith. We are still going to talk about that. Now, the fear here is not the fear of evil. We're not talking, this is not fear of devils. Hello? I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. This is not a fear of devil. This is a fear that has to do with relationship. Hello? This is not a fear of, you know, accident, you know that kind of fear you have when you have a bad dream. Do you understand? It's not this one. Now, that one is there. We are still going to talk about that. But here we are talking about relationship. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption. In other words, we can say it's also the spirit of liberty. Because what he said, you have not received the spirit of what? Of bondage, the spirit of slavery. But now you have received the spirit of adoption, the spirit of sonship, by which we cry, Abba, Father. Meaning that, as a child, don't forget Genesis chapter 3. Adam disobeyed God. The same Adam that rejoiced every time he had the voice of the Lord God walking, we saw the same Adam
with joy. He said, I was afraid. He said, I heard your voice and I became afraid. Where did that fear come? Now, that fear was not there. Sin brought in that fear. Hello? Sin brought that fear. But now he's saying that in the New Testament, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption. The spirit of adoption that draws us to the Father, there is a longing inside of me to relate and to fellowship. So because there is peace, my relationship with God has been taken care of. And that is why I said this last week when I was talking about when I took us to 1 John chapter, this chapter 2, where he says that little children, I write to you that you do not sin, but if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father and all that. The fact that God has, we have peace, that's what we are saying. Our relationship with God has been taken care of. We have access. Okay, let's look at Ephesians chapter 3. It's just good to use a good number of scriptures to establish what we are saying. Ephesians chapter 3. Sorry, is it? Is it 3 or 2? Oh, sorry, let me quickly check my notes. Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, 11. Ephesians 3:11, do we have it? According to the eternal purpose which he proposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, yes? In whom we have what? In whom we have what? Boldness and access with what? Confidence. Really, there are scriptures that if we really understand the import, if we really understand the import of these things, we will celebrate and we want to really come into the reality, this experience in its fullness. It's that in whom we have boldness and access with confidence. It's not just access. Hello? There's a difference between access and access. He said this is an access with what? With confidence. This is serious. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Listen, this is not even about my faith. Hello? Hallelujah. This is not even by what? He didn't say this is... Now, get this right. I'm not saying that my faith is not necessary. But I'm saying that the procurement of this boldness and access is not about my faith. It's about his faith. But my own walking and journeying in it may do with my faith, but it was not my faith that procured it. My faith could not even have procured access. Because my faith was even given to me because I was dead. Yes! Listen, as man was, there was nothing we could do for ourselves. The basic thing, the fundamental requirement of salvation cannot even be generated by man. Which is faith. Everything brings it down to the level of faith. That was the basic requirement for man to be saved. He doesn't need any good works, he doesn't need anything. He only needs to believe. But man was so dead that he could not even believe. So God had to come to our rescue and say, ah, these people, you can imagine, his faith has procured it, but I cannot even believe. So they now have to come and help me. Hallelujah. These are kingdom experience. Boldness and access with comfort. There is no more fear. He has taken away my guilt. Has been taken care of. The fear has been taken care of. I should be able to approach and come near. Why? Because there is now for me. Hallelujah. Now, what you discover. Now, that's why we are teaching these things. So that we can really have an understanding of what God sees as of us, and how, where we are in you know, when you cross-examine, that are we really living in the reality of these things? Amen. So we have the spirit of adoption. Our fear has been taken away. We are no longer, there is no need for us to withdraw. Now, we are not, of course, like I said before, if you disobey God, God will not tell you to withdraw. You will withdraw. It's still like that. It's still, now, even now, sin will still produce the same effect it had then. It's not even God. Now, do you know that if daddy has asked you to do something, you did not do it. If you see him coming like this, there's a tendency for you to, you just pass this way. Why? Because something is wrong. You know that you are, there is a fear. Hallelujah. There's a fear. But God has taken care of that. And we, now, that is why, see, you should not for any reason allow Satan to bring you under any condemnation. Listen, God will not, Paul said it. He said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You don't get. Is that who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? You can't. See, don't forget about this one. There's no. It's. Don't say, well, I'm not an elect because I'm not. It's not about journey. Eh? You say, I'm not sure I'm elect. See, don't put anything, don't complicate it. You understand what I'm saying? Don't what? Don't complicate it. In Christ Jesus, God has chosen you. In Christ Jesus, God has chosen you. You only come into the reality of it in when you now get saved and you are now beginning to walk with God. But you have been, even before Christ died, they've made their choice. Just what I'm saying. So in Christ Jesus, you have been chosen. So it's not about. So he said, who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Say, is it not God that justifies? And he's saying that I'm not justifying you on basis of anything. All I'm saying is that my son has already believed me and he has done something. All I need you is to believe this. If you believe this, you are declared righteous. Amen. So we don't allow, that is why, see, as much as you don't want people to play with sin, but we also don't want Satan to take advantage of you. Because if you sin, Satan can use that to put you in chain of condemnation. And you will not enjoy the fullness of God's blessing for you. There are people that have lived under condemnation for, and of course, sin is sin. But listen, Satan is a, you know, Satan has been in this journey for, he dealt with angels, and the man is still, the being is still believing that even God, he can, this is not God, we can take him. Israel does not believe he can take God. He's still believing that he can take God. That is because otherwise he should have given up since. Do you get what I'm saying? He's believing that he can wear God, this God. We are going to make sure that he does not achieve his end. So that's the kind of person we are dealing with. The kind of being we are dealing with. Amen. That's the kind of being we are dealing with. So don't we have to fighting. Well, for some people it does not apply. But do you know that I discovered that at a point in my life, I had to actually deal with that issue. I saw that Satan wanted to bring condemnation on my mind, on my soul. That thing was going to restrict me. It was not as if I committed any heinous crime or any sin or something. But I just described that there was this surge. There was this surge of condemnation that was just trying to push at me. I had to stand and fight it and break that thing, and I'm not allowed to. Because listen to me, God can bring blessing. Once you submit yourself to condemnation, you will reject what God has brought. Hallelujah. My time is up for today. So we... Hallelujah. So we... Well, let's eat. So I think that is... Let's... Amen.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you were those? Okay. He had to call his spirit back. When he began to vibrate, I know Ogi is on the loose. Amen. I hope you got the balance there. The problem majority have heard is that they could not understand the meaning of the word justification. Again, it's a legal word. It's a very, very legalistic word. And the book of Romans is one of the most profound scriptures ever penned down by men. It has to be by the reasoning of the Holy Spirit. And you need to read Hebrews and Romans together. They are twin. Amen. You understand? So it will help you. Yes, you have been justified. And because of that justification, they cannot come and start saying you are not beloved, you are not loved, you are not anything. They've cleared that matter. Amen. So it's a reality of the kingdom. You can't take it away. But we have had another side, the flip side. They said because I've been justified, then I can continue. The answer to that is in Romans 6. Say, shall we continue that grace may abound? He said, God forbid. So that argument flopped. Amen. And that's why I say, in biblical interpretation, don't take one scripture and hold on to it. In fact, I will advise you, please don't begin to start carrying Bible and start going about preaching when you have not gone through the whole Bible. Because you may go and start giving revelation in Romans chapter 5 and forget that they wrote 1 John chapter 2. Then you confuse everybody and yourself. But I thank God for a balanced dissection this evening. Do we have questions? Any question? Don't be shy to ask questions. Okay, God bless you. Mrs. Lumri. Where's Mrs. Lumri? Lumu, you ask question. Who else used to ask questions? Joseph. Okay. Faith, you ask question. Those who used to ask me question, we ask question. Where is Jael? I thought Jael coming. Jael, okay. Five. Oh yeah. Number one. Moyin, you ask question. Number six.
Yes, sir. I saw a post on Facebook.
That's where we get all those pictures.
Yeah, it's actually
good pictures. Yeah.
He said that the issue of once saved, forever saved is just like saying once shaped, forever shaped. As in.
Wisdom, Elio. Pastor. So, once you shave, what? You are forever shaped. You forget? Okay.
So his point there was like...
Who was the ref there? Just bring out.
His point was that there's nothing like once saved, forever saved.
Yeah.
So I really want to understand. I've heard a lot of pastors that I look up to say there's the once saved, forever saved principle or Bible, I don't know how to call it now. It's true. It's doctrinal.
it's not doctrinal. Well, it's doctrinal, but whether the doctrine is right or wrong, it's a different ballgame entirely. Of course, they use the, see, the salvation that Jesus procured is eternal salvation. But like Pastor said, even the journey, he said, as we have received him, continue also in him. Are you with me? How did you come to him? By faith. How do you continue in him? By faith. All this is also an act of your own consciousness. Are you with me? Even realizing your dependency on God. Sure you understand. So, the Bible speaks about salvation unto the uttermost. Like I did a teaching here. There is a past tense of salvation. You were saved. There's a present tense. You have been saved. There's a future tense. You will be saved. You have not gotten that. That's a long one. Oh God. I didn't want to make it complicated. However, what I'm trying to communicate to you is that there is nothing like being saved forever. There's a conscious effort on your part to stay focused on God. It's just, again, the story of Peter is an example. Jesus Christ said, Peter, if it be you, Lord, bid me come. The Lord said, come. And Peter jumped out of the boat, landed on the water, and began to walk. But the Bible says he took his eyes from where? Of Jesus. And what happened to him? Began to sing. That story was not put in the Bible for testimony's sake. It's a story to teach you about our own life. Take your gaze away from Jesus, you will sink. The salvation is standing looking at you. You will remain on that water as long as your eyes are kept on him. Take it off, you go down. You understand the story? Why you are not forever saved? That salvation is there. If you keep your eyes on him, you will eventually be saved though. But if you take your eyes away, there's no guarantee again. You're on your own. So do you understand? So, praise God. Number two, please hold up. Sister Lumri. She didn't want to hold up. She thought I would forget. Thank God.
I did not raise my hand.
I know. She's here now. God has caught you.
Romans 8 verse 24 and 25.
Can you read Romans 8, 24 and 25?
For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But we hope for that we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it.
That's the futuristic part of. No, I'm just showing, talking to him. That's the futuristic part of that salvation. Sure you understand now. That's the scripture for you. All right, Salumri.
Yeah, the question from there is, it's kind of confusing, but hope that is seen is not hope. My own aspect of seeing that is that, if God has shown me the ending part of something, you know, sir, I've seen it. And Paul is saying that is not hope. Meanwhile, I've seen that I will be something. Then I'm hoping to be that thing.
Okay.
And he's saying it's not.
Pastor Benios.
Praise God. Is that about verse 24? 24. For we are saved by hope. Okay? We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is no longer hope. Because we have seen Christ, our salvation, who has saved us from our sin. Now, this hope is not the hope for me to buy a car. It's not a hope for me to build a house. It's the hope of my salvation, which is no longer a hope, because I have believed that Christ died for me. And so, it's no longer a hope. That's what Paul is saying. For what a man sees, why do he hear those for? We have seen it. We have received the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ as, you know, as a panacea for our salvation. And so, if we have received that, then it's no longer a hope. Again, we've been established in it. All we need to do is to build our faith and be strong in that which we have seen, which is no longer hope. That's what Paul is talking about. Verse 24, for we accept, verse 25. He said, but if we hope for that we see not. So is this thing we have seen it? He said, then do we with patience wait for it? In other words, if I am trusting God to build a house, I have to be patient. But this, my salvation, is not a hope again. I have received it. I have seen it. I am already in it. So it's no longer a hope. But there's another hope which I need to wait for. Now, I'm not saying that it's about building of house. Okay? There's another hope which we need to wait for. But surely it's not salvation again, because we have seen our salvation.
Take from verse 20, please. Just like Pastor said, he's not speaking about salvation here, as it were, but there's still another salvation. The salvation of believing Jesus is no longer that hope. But there's still a future one, the ultimate one, which was spoken about in the book of Hebrews. He used another analogy to explain Hebrews. How did he explain it? He said those priests of that testament could not bring us into the most holy place. They could not bring us into perfection. The ultimate salvation is entering into the most holy place, into the presence of God. I beg your pardon. Excuse me. Now, he now said, for the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in what? In hope. It's talking about this hope. This hope is not the one of that one that will see Jesus. So it's here about a different hope. Verse 21. Because the creature itself, which is creation, which Pastor Eugene delved into and did not finish. Are you with me? There are different endpoints, or let me use the word signs, or objectives that God wants to accomplish. This is one of it. Hallelujah. Not only in the church, but in each and every one of us. Do you understand that? Now, he said there is this hope. He said the creation will what? Will be delivered from the bondage of corruption, which is death, into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. 23. Not only they, but we ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. Are you with me? Your salvation is still not complete until your body is fully redeemed. So it has not ended. What God is doing in your life up to today, it is still a process. God said it. He said, we don't know what we will look like, but this we know. As he is, so shall we be. Then the question is, how is he? When he rose from the dead, they said, behold a spirit. He said, I'm not a spirit. If I be a spirit, come and touch me. For a spirit does not have flesh and bone. Jesus has no blood flowing in his body anymore. He emptied everything on the cross. If you see Jesus, you will touch him. But he can disappear right through your hands. He's both tangible and intangible. Can you explain that? He's a force of the kind. There's no type like that in the whole creation. He's the fourth kind. And he said, we will be like that. that you can enter the natural realm and step into the spiritual realm and you still be okay. Right now, you can only do that in the imagination. Praise God. How you teleport? That is a great. That is another technology entirely. I mean, I don't know anything about that. Praise God. Amen. Change your understanding, Mr. Lumbri. So, there is a salvation we are hoping for. Now, that's it. Now, 24. Where you now begin to read from? For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is no longer hope. We have seen certain things. So it's no longer hope. But what we are talking about, this thing we call redemption of our body, is now in the future. It's not like a reality. And the problem we have with the church, present day church, and all of us are all running now, including myself, is that we have not paid attention to this thing. Pastor said this. Said once you don't know, you won't believe God for. All of us. That's why I don't like going for burial ceremony anymore. I hate it. Because the thing keeps binding me back to this life. You don't understand. Everybody say, come Peter and overcome the power of sin and death. You are telling me that it's about inevitable end. How do we reconcile that? Remember, first comment by what? Hearing. So the more you keep going for burials, I don't know. Praise God. God will help you. There are some burial ceremonies you have to go. If you don't go, you will have to deal with issues in your family. But I don't know what to do. I don't know. So I stopped mourning for the dead. Whenever my father died, I could not cry. Because I know that the reason why he died was because Adam did in the garden. That's why my father died. I might as well go to die this death like this. I'm thinking, how am I going to get out of this problem? You are telling me that, don't worry, Ugalamaku. That's unbelief. Are you with me? That's unbelief. And so what happens now? What do you do with hope? You expect its manifestation. Technically, we are not expecting it. All of us here are just thinking about, let me grow, marry, give birth to children, let my children grow. When they marry, me too, I will just find a way to and die. I'm going to meet my ancestors. So, when are we going to conquer them? When are we going to fulfill scriptures? Am I with you? Praise God. So, there is this hope that is not yet seen. So what a man said, he does not yet hope for. Verse 25, he now says this, but if we hope for that we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. If I promise you tomorrow, Sister Alumri, come around and collect, I want to do a job, 50K, throughout the whole night, it will be on your mind. And I tell you, it's 8 a.m. Mind them, I'm there. Abi? And with patience, you wait for 8 a.m. Why are we not waiting for this hope? Because we are not preaching it. Because if we are preaching it, it will become, something on your mind. You have a question? No, you're not. We wait for the light. Wait for your turn. Wait for your own revelation. Patiently wait. Praise God. Salome, am I blessed? She said I'm blessed. Okay, number three. Faith. Yeah, stand up. Faith. Create one. Just create a problem. Just create one. Or give me a revelation. Or give me an insight.
Romans chapter 8, verse 15.
8:15.
For ye have not received the spirit of bondage of to fear again, have you?
Again to fear.
Again to fear. But ye have received the spirit of adoption,
whereby we cry out, our Father.
Well, I feel that this spirit we received is faith. They say
you don't believe this scripture.
I believe. Okay. They said the spirit we received, the spirit of adoption, is we receive the spirit of adoption by faith. Because we can't see it, yes. I'm just saying, we received it by faith. Because faith is something that we can't see, but we hope for. And hope is something we can't see again. We know that we receive. No. Okay, my question is that faith and sir, like no faith and hope are they
the same?
Yes.
Faith and no, they are not the same.
Well, faith is something we can't see, and hope is something we can't see, but
we can see
we
faith.
Believe.
We can see faith. At least I can see you. I can see. Go and read that something. But the Bible says in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For me to know you are hoping, I must see your faith. The Bible says when they brought that young guy that was paralyzed through the roof, Jesus saw their faith. So faith is an action. It's a work. It's a reality. Amen. If I am believing, like Salome Ray's case now, that you are bringing money to me tomorrow morning for 8, I would have woken up by 7. I would have been facing, I said, go fix me and lock up Jack. That is to tell you that I have faith you will be coming. But if I have no confidence, and say, faith says she's coming to, let's continue our program. That means I have no faith in you. Are you with me? And unfortunately, you now come, and I'm not ready to receive you. You carry your money away. See, you understand? So that's why they're different. See, you understand? Okay. Faith and strength. Yeah, brother, from Liti again. Eh?
Joseph.
Okay. I forget names. God help me. Yes, you have the floor. You have the microphone.
Yes. Here. My question is that I used to read dates.
Okay.
And Matthew Henry. So there is a particular place, I think one of his commentaries, he says there was a set of people before Adam existed. But
which of them? Dates or Henry?
Dates.
Okay.
And scripturally it's not correct, because the Bible said the first Adam, the first man.
Yeah.
So, I want clarification about that. Then,
they said that there was a pre-Adamic creation. That's what he said. And he said it doesn't exist. He said not in the scriptures. But I don't know who preached that. Is it Pastor? I said that. I said that also. That there is archaeological evidences to show that creatures existed before Adam came on earth. They've seen their fossils run everywhere. Praise the Lord. Which proves people have had They've had encounters with holy beings, and they've collaborated that. Even angels have collaborated, and even Jesus has collaborated that to people. But for us, it's really not an issue. Sure, you understand? Because between verse 1 and verse 2, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2 now says it was without form and void. It doesn't make any sense. Even you will not create something that is form and, that is formless and useless. It doesn't, I mean, those words don't match. So, theologians said that between 1 and 2, something happened. Then if you go to scriptures, Isaiah 14, when it spoke about Lucifer, when Lucifer, his ascension, the prophet said, I will ascend, I will go up, I will do all that. That was, then you now read the account again in Romans, in Revelation 12, they are not the same. There were two conflicts that took place, two angelic conflicts took place. The first one, in Ezekiel, he said, God said, he became proud because of the brightness. He said, I'm proud. God said, I said this something, I will cast you out. In Revelation, the Bible said there was war in heaven. And Michael and his angels fought, and Lucifer was cast out. The second angelic warfare was in Isaiah. He said, I will ascend and I go above. And I will be like the Most High. Which led to the second catastrophic nature of creation. And only the earth was recreated. That's why all the probes, America and all of them, are sent all over the universe, they would not find life. You won't find life. There are spirits there, there are demons there. There are demons there. They walk in the stars. Why do you think they call people like Michael Jackson a star? Isn't that word just came out of... You didn't want to ask what was the origin of that. Those things, spirits rested on them. Those spirits are represented by stars. Someone was talking about horoscope, taros. Those are fallen angels. And they control people's lives. So as a believer, I must break that relationship. Otherwise, they will just destroy everything that God has working on in your life. So, that's the situation.
My second question.
Olu Amiu. May I ask?
Yes.
I'll try and answer it in Shoki.
I heard a man of God, right, to be caught. He said Jesus came down from heaven. He invited him.
Who invited him?
The man of God.
Oh, Jesus came and invited the man for lunch.
Yeah, to his church for service. So,
who are confused, the man?
Yes.
Jesus need church. So why invite man? They go and preach. I be
who
attend. Yes,
he came from heaven.
Uh-huh.
I now invite. Then I've added that because Robert Powell. The man that did the Passion of Christ, Robert Powell. So I've been, what is the relationship between, and what you just said, that Jesus now can enter into the spirit and we can hold him.
I don't see a relationship what you are telling me now.
Okay.
Because Jesus came down and invited a man to church. I don't know the church invited him to. Oh, we're taking from church to in the spirit. Abi, is that what you are saying? No.
No, it's
South Africa. Oh, they are South Africa. Okay, invite just to his church. We are showing Jesus around the church. Oh, go there, go there. Yeah, the Bible says, meet our people. No, go see video. Oh, you got Lord Jesus now. Pastor, go invite Jesus. Only a day, but I'm going to say, this is our pulpit. And this is our microphone so that we use every day. And I show him around. Then it's not Jesus that you invited. It's not Jesus. Praise the Lord. Who is another person? Who is taking the microphone? Okay. Who is the next person? Elizabeth. Where is Elizabeth? No, it's not Elizabeth. It's Jahel. Give Jael, my friend, who are you to? Get up. I know. Hurry up. Stop doing like a snail. Too many people are doing it. Let us do sharp, sharp.
I don't have questions.
Okay, ask one.
There is none.
So imagine. Imagine you will not sit down until after service. May I give money? He will come out. Don't even sit down. Don't come out. Come outside beside me here. Yeah. Hey, come here. I'll tell this brother to bond with you. Come back, come here. Next time you learn how to ask questions.
That is, please, I want explanation on...
Don't let your neck break. Do what you're telling your neck. Just let your neck break.
Explanation on the faith of the Son.
Ah.
The faith of Him. Faith
Pastor,
of Christ.
Pastor Gwa.
The faith
of Christ. That other scripture that we read that said the faith of Him. We have access and I don't know, something by the faith of Him. So I want explanation on the faith of Christ.
No. What the issue is this. Christ, now, how do I put it? Of course, Hebrews chapter Hebrews 12. It says, give us Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. That's hope. Hello? He said, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So even Christ Jesus had, will I call it promises? Because something was set before him. There is a joy that was set before him. That was hope. So he's just talking about his confidence in God that made him to go through the cross to do all that he did. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It's not, when Jesus was coming, there were discussions between him and the Father. There were things he was supposed to do. The Father told him, you go to the cross, you will die, we'll pick you up. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. It was his faith in those things that made him to obey God to the point that he died. And he had enough faith in the Father that he knew that, he said, you will not leave my soul in Sheol. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. He said, that will not suffer thy holy one to see corruption. That's faith. So it was his confidence that he demonstrated in the Father that made him to go through all that. That's the only reason why we can have that. If Jesus could not believe to be resurrected, he wouldn't die. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. And if he did not die, we cannot be saved. If he was not resurrected, we cannot be talking what we are talking here. So it's not the same way God has spoken to us and say, if you obey, if you do this, and you believe. The same way Jesus Christ had to believe God and obey till he died and till he was resurrected. So that simply is faith. It's not a... It's just dealing with the Father.
He said, what's the faith?
How does that apply to us?
He has set you an example. That's why I call it authored and finished. Have you seen an author before? Somebody authored a book. Are you with me? It was like I was doing a seminar presentation and I was quoting a particular equation that I was using, which I got from a renowned chemical engineer. And one lecturer stood up and said, that equation is wrong. All the professors said, I said, you better shut up. Who are you to say that? That is the father of chemical engineering. You are saying, shut up. They asked you for 40 minutes. Can I continue my presentation? So my shelebe. So he authored it. No other person authored it. And he laid it as an example. Then what I have taught you, go and teach others also. See, you understand? It's about everything about the faith has to do with his own, with the promise of God, with the way he lived, and with the way he fulfilled it. And he's seated now. So our own tool is to follow that example. It's a very simple thing. So they've given us promises, they gave him promises also. If you believe it, got into it, you also will believe it, you enter into it. It's a very simple thing, nothing complicated. Praise God. Now, Lizzie, I will not take you. You are patiently waiting.
Okay, First John chapter 1. When he said something about if we don't know, we cannot desire. And First John chapter 1 verse 1 through 3 came to mind. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. And then you began to explain Romans 8, 24 and 25, talking about the hope. And then you're talking about the redemption of our body. So is this eternal life the redemption of our body?
No. Okay. No. Eternal life, yes, the person. So the things we've had, the things we've seen, we have handled, concern eternal life. Go over it again now. John, 1 John. 1 and 2. Please. The thing that was from the beginning, which we have had, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, of the word of life. For the life was manifested. So the person who manifested was an embodiment of life. His name was not Jesus in the beginning. His name is the Word of God. Because when he put on flesh, they called him Jesus for administrative issues. He was in the eternal past, he was not Son. There was no Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. There was Elohim. Because when he stepped out of eternity into flesh, that we began to have Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I don't know if you understand what I'm trying to say. It was a choice he made. If you read Philippians chapter 2, then though being God, he did not grasp hold to that privilege or whatever it was, but he gave it up and chose. So it's clear that he was speaking about that person who was manifest, and we've seen it, and we bear witness, and we show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, had been manifested to us. So you are still having a problem. There are two aspects of this. There is the person, and then there is the life which he gives. Are you with me? And I think I've spoken about eternal life here before. Telling us that eternal life, I've been having the pleasure to define what eternal life is. What is life? Eternal life is not living forever. Especially what he gave. Are you with me? Eternal life is actually a quality of life that enables you to live as God will live. Are you with me? What did you say it is? Is it qualitative? Okay, you have done qualitative chemistry and quantitative chemistry. Okay, qualitative. Praise God. Amen. The reason why you are what you are is because you have human life. So you act like a human being. If we should put in you the nature of a dog, you will behave like a dog. The reason why you are behaving like a dog is because of the kind of life that's in there. So we put eternal life in you, it will begin to affect your conduct. And that life is also embedded, is manifested through the Spirit. Romans chapter 8. If the Spirit of him that raised up Christ dwell in you, that same Spirit will mortify your body. So how will he mortify your body? Which is the redemption of that body. Oh, we are getting a connection now. Yeah. Where we have stayed so far is the place of the gifts. The Holy Ghost is inside of me. I have Christ. I have that. That is an aspect of the Spirit. I believe the ultimate operation of the Spirit is the mortification of that body. That you and I will bear the same kind of body like Jesus. Then 1 Corinthians 15 will come to pass. Oh death, oh sin. Praise God. Our own death. Praise us. Which one is sink? Which one is power? They can use death. It can sink. It can power. Because we must conquer sin. Because the only way to conquer death
is conquer sin. The reason why saints die is because they have sin in their mortal flesh. It's still there. That sin is still walking there. Are you with me? He said, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, he said your spirit is life, but your body is dead because of sin. So that's why we grow. By the time we are 70, 80, this body will give up, to collapse. It's not sustainable. Corruption will eat it up. But there is a faith that you and I must begin to believe God for. For that walking of the Spirit that begins to mortify our bodies. We saw a little in the life of Moses. Now the Bible says his eyes did not abate. The power of that power, that life was working in him, that it was still strong. We saw that manifestation a little in the life of Caleb. At 80, said, I'm still strong as I was 40 years old. What was working in them? A life was working in them. So in all the scriptures, we see a glimpse of this manifestation. Even in Paul, when that snake bit him, what do you think killed the snake? Because the life inside of Paul killed the snake. And he said, life has swallowed death, has swallowed up death in victory. Only life can kill death. I don't know what, I don't understand that one. Just take that on my faith. Amen. Praise God. But these are the realities we must walk into. It's a thing we must... So our prayer points must change. But right now, we are battling forces beyond our control. In all this fight is fire brigade. It's still Satan at work. It's called distraction. Let me weary them. Ogun delay. Ogun APC. Ogun Fulani S-Men. They are just bombarding us. You don't even have time to even face the reason why you were even reached. God will have mercy and help us. We need God to help us. I think we should stand and pray. We need God to help us. Because the truth is that I don't even know where to start. I don't even know how to even believe. But that woman said, is it that woman man said to Jesus, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. I don't know what to do. But Pastor spoke about us, that there are things we must experience. There are things we must touch. We need God to lead us into those realities. Can we talk to the Lord and ask the Lord to help us in the name of Jesus? Ask the Lord to help us. Jesus has shown us a pattern. Even the pattern he has left for us, even to understand the pattern and follow it, we need the help of the Holy Spirit. We need help. We need help. Lord, help us. You have, God has designed that we should walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, help us. God has designed that His life should flow through our mortal bodies. But we don't even know how to activate.
We believe you've enjoyed this message from the Fountain of the Spirit. You can get more of our messages and make more inquiries about the ministry by calling the numbers 080-372-60299 or 080-395-48289. You can also be a part of one of our many Spirit-filled meetings. School of Diocesis every Tuesday 6 p.m. Governmental prayers every Thursday 6 p.m. Sunday meetings 9 a.m. Grace be with you.